I'd like us to turn in our Bibles this morning, please, to the passage that we read a little earlier in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, and looking particularly at the passage from verse 11 to 15, where we read the story of this woman called Lydia, who became a Christian, the conversion of Lydia. Acts chapter 16, particularly from verse 11 to verse 15. And if you have your Bibles open, I will be working my way through that passage. If you're a Christian here this morning, the reason why you're a Christian is because God has done a certain work in you. Now, when we first become Christians, we don't often see it like that. We often think of what we have done, because that is how we usually are. We think about the things that we did, the experiences that we had, and so on, and what happened to us, and we think, well, when I became a Christian, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And that's not wrong, because we must do certain things if we are to become Christians. But then as we grow in our Christian faith, as we read the Bible, and we particularly look at others who became Christians, we read their stories in the Bible, we begin to realize that actually it is a work that God has done. That there are things that God has done before we were even aware that God was working. And then we realize that there were things that God has done at the point where we became Christians. And there are things that God has done after we have become Christians. So we begin to look at our whole experience from the angle of God and His work. And the passage that we have before us, this woman called Lydia, who became a Christian, it's a wonderful passage because it explains this to us in very clear terms, the work of God in salvation. So if you are a Christian here this morning, I want to explain to you what God has done in making you a Christian. And if you aren't a Christian here this morning, well, I hope what I say to you will be of interest to you. Because this is something that you can ask God to do. We will look at various things that God did, and you can pray to Him. And you can say to Him, "You did this for Lydia, and I would like you to do the same for me." And our God is a gracious God. He's a prayer-answering God. And if you were to pray like that, God will do with you what He did with Lydia and how He made her a Christian. He will do the same for you. Now, as we look at the passage, I want us to notice four things that God did. And as a result of these four things, Lydia became a Christian. There are four things in this passage. The first thing I want us to notice is this, that God prepared the way for Lydia to be saved. God prepared the way for Lydia to be saved. There is a phrase in this passage, and I want us to look at it. It's a very important phrase, although when we first read it, you just go over it. But then as you study the passage, there is a phrase here which is very important. It says there in verse 14, "One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God." A worshipper of God. Now, let me explain this to you. It is a very, very important phrase. If you were living in the times when this passage was written, that is to say some 2,000 years ago, and you were living in the Roman Empire, and you were living in one of the major cities of the Roman Empire, perhaps Corinth or Ephesus or somewhere like that, in your city there would have been a synagogue, because the Jewish people, many of them, had moved out of their own country and had gone to live in various cities of the Roman Empire. Alexandria, for example, the capital of Egypt, something like 25% of the population was Jewish. And other cities like Ephesus and Corinth had fairly large Jewish populations. And wherever the Jews went, they built a synagogue. That was their place of worship. Now, if on a Sabbath day you attended the synagogue, you would meet two groups of people. We know this because the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that when Paul went to these cities of Corinth and Ephesus and Pisidian Antioch, these various cities where there were Jewish synagogues, he would first go to the synagogue to preach, and the Bible tells us very clearly he met there two groups of people. He met the Jews, of course. They were the ones who built the synagogue, and it was their religion. So the Jewish people on the Sabbath would go to the synagogue and would worship their God. But there was also another group of people there. And the New Testament has different words for them. They are sometimes called worshippers of God, or God-fearers, or Gentiles who were in the synagogue. Now, these were people who weren't Jewish by birth, but they admired the Jewish religion. They were attracted to the Jewish religion. They liked what they saw in the synagogue. And so they would come to the synagogue for the service. Some of them were formally converted to Judaism. Many weren't. They didn't actually become Jewish in their religion. They didn't follow the food laws and things like that. But they would attend the synagogue for the worship. Maybe they liked the singing and the music. Maybe they just liked the atmosphere there. Maybe they liked the passages that were read from the Bible. I don't know. But you always hear about this. There were these God-fearers who came to the synagogues. And the interesting thing is, when Paul went and preached in a synagogue, you generally find it was these God-fearers who responded to the Christian message and became Christians. And this woman Lydia, she was not Jewish. If she had been Jewish, the writer would have told us. Incidentally, you may have noticed that the writer of this book was actually there when this event happened. Because he says, do you notice, he says in verse 14, one who heard us, not them, you see. I mean, he from verse 11, so setting sail from Troas, we. So Luke, the writer, was with Paul and Timothy and Silas for this part of their journey. We made a direct voyage from Samothrace and so on. And in verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside. So here is this woman called Lydia. And she's not Jewish by birth. She's from Thyatira, which is in Turkey. And she has moved to Philippi. She's a businesswoman. And somewhere, either in Thyatira, where she was born and raised, or in Philippi, she met some Jewish people, perhaps through business, because the Jewish people were involved in business. And perhaps through her business dealings, she met these Jewish people. And they began to talk. And as people do in the East, they began to speak about religion. This is something people do very openly. When you go to the East, people very openly talk about religion. So they maybe began to talk about religion. And perhaps these Jewish women spoke to Lydia about their God and about their scriptures and about their worship. And perhaps Lydia one day thought, I will go along and see what they do in these meetings. And she goes and she attends these meetings and she likes what she sees. She sees there genuine faith. She sees there people who worship the one true living God. She sees there not idolatry, which is probably what she was raised in, but the worship of God. And so she begins to be attracted by this. And in Philippi, it seems, a group of Jewish women were meeting on the banks of the river for worship. There wasn't a synagogue in that city. But these women were meeting on the banks of the river, and Lydia joined them. Now, do you see, this is the preparation work of God. Before she hears the gospel, before she hears about Christ and salvation through faith in Christ, God has been at work in her heart. And God has exposed her to parts of His Word. And God has brought her into contact with His people. And she has already begun to learn about the Bible. She's read parts of the Old Testament, heard parts of the Old Testament read. She knows something about the one true living God. She's not a complete outsider. God has done this preparatory work in her heart and then brought her to faith in Christ. And God often does this. In fact, God always, I shouldn't say often, God always does this. You hear the story of a person who's become a Christian. And if you hear with discernment, you begin to trace how God was at work in that person and how God brought that person into contact with Christians and so on. I was born and raised a Hindu. But do you know, I've had contact with Christians since childhood. And some of those I still remember. I have this memory, forgive me, I'm talking about myself here, but I hope this illustrates the point. I have this memory as a child, and we were in a village in Africa, and my father had given me certain duties to do. It was a Saturday afternoon, and my father had said to me, "Now I have a business associate, and I want you to do certain work for him." So I went to this man's house. And I say to him, "My father has sent me to you because I have certain chores I need to do for you." And we began to talk, and he said, "What would you have done if you hadn't come to my house to do these chores?" And I said, "Well, Ben-Hur has opened at the cinema, and I wanted to go and view Ben-Hur." Now, if you've seen Ben-Hur, there is a Christian message there. And he was a Christian. I didn't know this. He was a Christian. And he said, "Leave those chores, go to the cinema and watch Ben-Hur." I said, "Why?" And he said, "You will hear about Jesus Christ." I remember that. I was only a little boy, but I remember that. And I remember later at university meeting the president of the Christian Union and the impact that he had. Because God, you see, prepares the way. And if you're a Christian, you can look back at your life and you can identify events and people. And they might have played a very, very small part, but they were all little bits of preparation that God was doing in making you a Christian. And if you aren't a Christian here this morning, do you know perhaps God has been at work, and God has perhaps been doing preparation work in your heart? You may not be aware of it. And perhaps there are people in your family who are Christians. Perhaps God has saved some people in your family and they've become Christians. And perhaps they've spoken to you. You've seen their lives. And perhaps you've read bits and pieces. Perhaps you've had experiences in your life that has made you think about God. And I say this to you, do not dismiss these things. Do not just put them, cast them aside as irrelevant. These are mercies of God. These are works of God. And God will do these works as a means of preparing for a person before they become a Christian. Perhaps God is at work in your heart today. And perhaps that work will continue. And perhaps you will become a Christian. Why not? Why shouldn't you become a Christian? Why should it be so outrageous that you should become a Christian? Perhaps God is at work in your heart, preparing the way. So this woman, God prepared the way for Lydia to be saved. She met these Jewish people and she joined with them for prayer and knew things about God from the scriptures. God prepared the way for Lydia to be saved. But there's a second thing in this passage. and we see how God is at work. And the second thing is this, that God sent his servant to speak to her. God sent his servant to speak to her. It's a very interesting passage because of the way that Paul, the man who spoke to her, ended up in Philippi speaking to her. We read it from verse 6. And let me just read to you again the passage that we read, because I want you to see how he ended up in Philippi. It says from verse 6, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So there are these three men, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And they have decided to go on this evangelistic tour, on this journey, visiting towns and villages, preaching the gospel, preaching Jesus Christ. They're in Turkey, what is today Turkey. And they've obviously decided, when they planned this trip, they decided we will visit various parts of Turkey and bring the gospel to the people of Turkey. But it says there in verse 6, God the Holy Spirit forbade them, wouldn't allow them to visit towns and villages in Turkey. And they must have wondered, well, why won't God open the door? But he didn't. So they couldn't go to various towns in Turkey preaching the word. And then it says in verse 7, and when they had come to Mysia and attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So again, you see, the first plan has failed. We wanted to visit towns in Turkey, in Asia. We won't go there. But then there's this region called Bithynia, still in modern-day Turkey, but not Asia. It's now Bithynia. So there's this region called Bithynia. And they want to go there and preach the word of God to those people. And it says again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. I have no idea how the Spirit spoke to them. When you read the Bible, there were times when the Spirit spoke very directly to people. There were times when a prophet would come to somebody and say, this is the word of God. I don't know what means he used. There's no point in speculating. All we know is that the Holy Spirit would not allow these preachers to remain in Turkey. He would not allow them to go to these regions of Bithynia. And then Paul probably is now wondering, well, where do we go? We've tried to go to Turkey, God won't allow us. We've tried to go to Bithynia, God won't allow us. And it says in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So he then has this vision in the night, and he sees a man of Macedonia, possibly dressed in Macedonian dress, and so he knows he's from Macedonia. And he speaks to him very clearly, and he says, you come to Macedonia. That is where God wants you to come. He has closed the door in Turkey. He has closed the door in Bithynia. You come to Macedonia. And so Paul and Luke says, he was with them by this time, Luke says, we concluded we should go to Macedonia. And so they set sail for Macedonia. And the leading city of Macedonia, verse 12, is Philippi. That's its capital. So they go to the capital of Macedonia, Philippi. And Paul's way always, first seek out the Jewish people and go and preach to them. So they make inquiries. Are there any synagogues? No synagogues. Are there any Jewish people? There are some women who meet on the banks of the river. We go there. You see, God has directed his servants that they may go to Philippi and speak the word to this woman. It's a wonderful work of God here. He doesn't want them to just remain there in Turkey. Now, that doesn't mean he's not interested in the people there. He did send his word there. You read later in the New Testament, a letter was written to the churches of Bithynia. So Bithynia did hear the gospel. You read a letter, the same letter, the first letter of Peter, was written to the churches of Asia. So the district of Asia did hear the gospel, and churches did come into being. People did receive salvation. Their time did come, but not at this particular point. Their time came later. Here, God was directing his servants to go and speak the word to this woman and to others in Philippi. And this is how God does his work. God prepares the heart, and then God brings a means by which that heart receives his word. And God plants his word into the heart of a person whom he has prepared. And his heart is like good soil, and the seed falls into that good soil. And God then causes the heart to germinate and to produce fruit. This is the work that he did in Lydia. He sent preachers to her. I wonder if you ever think to yourself, why do I listen to Christian preaching? If you're not a Christian, I wonder if you think to yourself, why do I listen to this? Do you know this is God's blessing? It's a wonderful blessing, do you know, to hear the Bible read. It's a tremendous blessing. I know personally thousands of people who do not hear the Bible read in their own language. They don't have the Bible in their own language. I know parts of the world where there is no church, where there is no missionary, where there is no word of God. And those people do not have any means of hearing of Christ and the means of salvation. But if you're not a Christian here this morning, God has brought you to this place. And we have read the scriptures. And I'm doing my best. I'm not very good at it. I appreciate that. But I'm doing my best to explain this to you, that you may understand what God is saying in his word. And you need to hear the word of God. You need to hear it regularly. You need to read the word of God. Do not dismiss the Bible as some ancient book that's irrelevant and full of mythology and fiction. I promise you it isn't. This book has been written by God himself. And every word in it is true. And every word in it has been written that we may know who he is and how we may know him and be saved through faith in Christ. It's a wonderful book. If you're not used to reading the Bible, perhaps you're not a Christian and you don't read the Bible, can I say this to you? Why not get hold of a Bible and read it? Do you know, while I was still a Hindu, I went into a Christian bookshop and I bought a Bible. I don't know what my parents would have thought if they'd heard of that. But I went into a Christian bookshop and I bought a Bible. And do you know what I used to do? I used to finish work at about 5:30. I used to go home. And I used to have a shower, and then I would open my Bible and I would read it. And I would read a passage. Perhaps I would read just a short passage because I was trying to make sense of what it's saying. Other times I would read longer passages. But for week after week, month after month, I was still a Hindu, I read the Bible. And I was blessed because God saved me. Now, he didn't save me because I was worthy of salvation. I'd earned salvation. But because God is gracious. And I say this to you, maybe you've never ever thought of doing this. Why not get hold of a Bible? You can go on Amazon this afternoon and find a good version of the Bible and order it. And open it and read it. If you want to know what to read, come and talk to me. I'll explain to you where's a good place to start. But read the scriptures. And if there are parts of the Bible you don't understand, why not come and ask a Christian? Or go on the internet. Do you know there are wonderful sites on the internet that explain the Bible? Preachers and their sermons are on the internet. but get exposure to the Word of God. God prepared the way for Lydia to be saved, and God sent one of His servants to speak to her. Thirdly, we see the work of God. He prepares the way, He sends His servant. Thirdly, God opened her heart. Verse 14, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. The Bible tells us that when we are born hostile to God. That's what the Bible says, and it is true. We're not born neutral with regards to God. Nobody's born like that into this world. We're not born with, well, you know, I have no problems with God, and I have no problems with Christ and with Christianity and so on. It's just not for me. Actually, we're not born like that. You may say such words, but actually that is not the condition of your heart. We are born enemies of God. We're born with a bias. Do you ever go to the seafront in the summer here in Clevedon? And if it's a nice day, on the bowling green, you know, they're playing these bowls. And I love watching that. And you know how it is, they roll this little white ball to the end of the lawn. And then they have this big black ball. And the black ball has an inbuilt bias. This is to make the game interesting. This is to test your skills. So it's been created, it's been manufactured in such a way that the weight is on one side. It's an inbuilt bias. So if you set it down and roll it, it won't roll in a straight line. It will veer off to the right or to the left. And so you have to roll it in such a way as to compensate for that bias. And so you roll it going that way, and then it goes round and curves back to go near the white ball. I'm sorry, I'm not using technical language. I've never played bowls. I just watch it. And that is a good illustration of what we are as human beings. We are born with an inbuilt bias against God. We're born with an inbuilt bias against the things of God. We're born enemies of God, hostile to God. And so God has to do this work in our hearts to remove this inbuilt bias, to remove this hostility, this enmity. If He doesn't do that, we remain in unbelief. We remain non-Christians. We remain enemies of God. And this woman, Lydia, she was probably a very decent woman. She probably lived a very decent, moral, upright life. But that doesn't mean she was a Christian. Her heart was a heart of enmity against God. And here it says, as she heard the word of God, God opened her heart. God removed that inbuilt bias, that enmity that he had against God. God removed it. God changed her from within. It's called being born again. It is a work that God does in the heart of a person. God makes that person a new person from within. Their heart, the center of their being, undergoes a change. They're no longer what they were. They've become a new person. And when her heart was changed, when God opened her heart, it says the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. She began to listen to these words that were being spoken by Paul. She was no longer dismissive. She was no longer bored. She was no longer saying, I don't want to listen to this. I've heard all this before. I have no time for this. She was now listening and paying attention and responding because God opened her heart. Do you know the most important prayer you can pray? Perhaps you've never prayed. And I say this to you if you're not a Christian. Why not ask God to change your heart? I know it sounds an odd prayer, but it's a biblical prayer. And it's a prayer that honors God. Why not say to him, "Will you open my heart so that I can understand your word and I can respond to your word? Will you open my heart so that I begin to read your word and see what is said in it and I can respond to it?" You're not a Christian because God has never opened your heart. Why not ask him to do that? So God prepared the way for Lydia to be saved. And God sent one of his servants to speak to her. And God opened her heart. And then fourthly and finally, God made her his servant. God made her one of his servants. It says there, there was this woman called Lydia from the city of Thyatira. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. You see, she's become a new person because God has opened her heart. And she has repented of her sin. Repent means to leave your sins, to make a decision, I'm no longer going to follow the ways of unbelief. I'm no longer going to remain alienated from God, separated from God. I'm no longer going to remain in a non-Christian condition. That's repentance. I'm going to turn from the condition that I'm in today. And she trusted in Jesus Christ. We know that she trusted in Jesus Christ because of the actions that followed. The Bible says where a person has faith, that faith is always seen in their works. Well, this woman has works, and the works prove that there was faith. So she turned from her unbelief, from her non-Christian condition, and she came to the Lord Jesus, and she trusted in Jesus Christ. She asked him to be her Lord and Savior. She gave her life to him, and she received him as her Savior, and she put her faith in him. And she said to him, "I will live for you, because you are now my Lord and my Savior." She became a Christian. Now, I don't know what she actually prayed, because what you actually pray doesn't matter. Some people will pray a long prayer, asking God for salvation and forgiveness, and that's great. I just say, "Lord, will you save me?" Just a few words, and I was saved. And other people have said even fewer words, and God has saved them. Because God looks at the heart, and the heart that says, "I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Christ. I want salvation, the forgiveness of sin." And that's what this woman did. And you notice her works as a result of this. She says to Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke, she says, "You must come to my house." She's a wealthy woman with a big house. "You must come and stay in my house." Right at the end of this chapter, we read that before Paul and his friends left the city, they went to Lydia's house to see the brothers, the church, to encourage them. So it seems that the church that started in Philippi was meeting in her house. You see, this is what happens when a person becomes a Christian. That person becomes a servant of Christ. The person who says, "I'm a Christian," but then does nothing for Christ, hardly ever attends church, does nothing in the kingdom of God, does nothing in the church to serve other people, well, that person isn't a Christian. The Christian is the person who says, "I'm a Christian," and then joins the local church and uses their gifts for the local church and gets involved in the life of the local church. That is a Christian. The Bible says your life must show that you're a Christian. And her life showed that. She invited these people to stay in her house, and she hosted the church. The church met in her house because she was a Christian. So God prepared the way, and God sent his servants, and God opened her heart, and God saved her and made her one of his servants. If you're not a Christian here, Why not pray that God would open your heart and God would bring you to Christ, that He would give you that faith to believe in Christ and be saved? Why not ask Him to make you a Christian today? Let's come to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank You for the works that You do in saving those whom You have saved. We pray, O God, for any here today who are not Christians. We pray that You might be at work in their hearts. And we pray that they will come to You and they will ask You to open their hearts that they might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.